If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 to 15 as we continue in our series, Good News for Bad Times. Revelation chapter 20, starting at verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Lord, just scary, awesome words. I pray, Lord, you just use this time this morning to remind us that judgment day is coming. And most important of all, Lord, how much we need to be trusting and depending on you and your mercy and grace to see us through it. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. For years and years, Joe Biden used his influence as a U.S. Senator and Vice President of the United States to make himself and his family rich. September of 2020, a laptop computer owned by his youngest son, Hunter Biden, proved how he'd set him up with a Ukraine gas company and Chinese oil companies for all kinds of kickbacks. But because the media was in the tank for the Biden campaign, no investigation whatsoever, and anybody who even mentioned it got censored and canceled. Folks, Hunter Biden is a coke addict who got kicked out of the United States Navy. And yet, to this day, he has never been held accountable for any of the wrong things that he's done. Not only that, last May, he got a teaching job at Tulane University, and now, even though he has no artistic training whatsoever, he's selling god-awful paintings that he's doing for hundreds of thousands of dollars a piece, like he's Rembrandt, just because his last name is Biden. What fries our bacon the most during these days, when in the world are bad people ever going to pay for the bad things they do? I'll tell you when. On Judgment Day, when every single person who has ever lived or died is going to stand before God and be held accountable for everything they do. Amen. Bad news for pagans, good news for us Christians, and the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series right now at Fox River, a series called Good News for Bad Times, looking at all kinds of good news that God has for us that gives us victory over all the bad news we hear every single day. And today we look at the good news that Judgment Day is still coming. And to see that, we turn this morning to Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 to 15. In the last days, after Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, He's going to clean house at the Battle of Armageddon and then reign and rule over the world during the thousand-year millennium. Then, after Jesus Christ establishes His reign, there's going to be one more coup attempt by the devil and his posse. And then every single person who has ever lived or died is going to stand before God, and every single thing they have ever done is going to be weighed in the balance. Our text this morning, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, tells us three reasons why Judgment Day is still coming and why we need to be ready for it. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Judgment Day is still coming, is because the judge is still fair and just. And that's exactly why he's sitting on that throne in heaven in verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Great because it's awesome, white because it's holy and just. And notice, the person on that throne here isn't even identified. And you know why? Because everybody already knows who it is. It's not Judge Judy, it's not Judge Mathis, it's not Patricia DeMango on hot bench. It's Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead. Acts chapter 10, verse 42. And because He just obliterated the entire universe, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, earth and sky fled from His presence and cleared the courtroom. People, here comes the judge. We know that Judgment Day is still coming because the judge is still all about justice. upright and just is He. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. And Jesus will make sure in all cases, once and for all, justice is served. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8. Now, the Bible tells us there are several different judgments. Right now, before the great white throne, when we die, we immediately get judged by being sent directly to heaven or hell, depending on whether we trusted Jesus as our Savior or not. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, the Bema Seat judgment of Christ happens after the great white throne, when all Christians are in heaven for good, and we get judged for how many stars we're going to have in our crown. So the Bema Seat judgment of Christ is only for Christians up in heaven. And it's only going to be about your rewards and not about your sins. Because if it was about your sins, you wouldn't even be there to start with. But here, right after the millennium, before the transfer to heaven and hell, there is a transfer event. The great white throne judgment, when every single person who has ever lived or died is going to get a notice to appear. All Christians are going to be brought back out of heaven temporarily. All unbelievers are brought back out of hell temporarily so that they can have their eternal sentences officially confirmed before all people. And why? So that all people will know once and for all God's word is true and the gospel does save. And even more importantly, so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, whether they want to or not. Philippians chapter 2 verses 10 and 11. Amen. We know that judgment day is still coming because Jesus said Matthew 25:31, the Son of Man will sit on a throne and judge. Couldn't be clearer. Acts chapter 17, verse 31, God has appointed a day when He will judge the world. People, there is a day on God's calendar circled in red, and God always, always, always keeps His appointments. Folks, what is this world coming to? It's coming to that. He shall come again to judge the living and the dead. Judgment day is still coming. Now, the problem is, people today, the only judgment day they think about is the Terminator movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. But people do seem to have a sense that we live in a moral universe because they say that over and over again. What goes around comes around. Pop singer Gloria Estefan says this, "Kindness and justice that we send out into the universe always comes spinning back to us like on a big wheel in the form of more kindness and justice." So how is that supposed to work? There's like this big wheel of fortune in the sky, and Vanna White makes sure that everything turns out fair and square? No, there's a God who judges and does that. People have always made fun of the idea of Judgment Day. That old 70s song, In the Year 2525, has this line that says, "In the year 7510, if God's a-coming, He ought to make it by then. Maybe He'll look around Himself and say, guess it's time for the Judgment Day. I guess so." Most people today slam the idea of Judgment Day because they flat out hate God. Pundit Bill Maher said this, "I don't know what happens after you die and I don't care. So F God and F Judgment Day too. No God ever helped me do anything at all, so He doesn't have any right to judge me at all." You want to bet? Most people today have no sense whatsoever that they are ever going to be standing and being judged by Christ. The San Francisco Gay Men's Choir now sings a song, "We Are Coming for Your Children." Gee, I wonder what that song is about. Last June, citizens of Illinois spent $165 million on recreational pot in just 1 month, in case you're wondering where all the stimulus money goes. Last June the 20th, Travis Stackhouse from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, took his 5-year-old son and punched him in the face and in the stomach until he killed him. And you know why? All because that little 5-year-old boy ate the last piece of cheesecake in his dad's birthday, or Father's Day present. And folks, how in the world can somebody do something like that? I'll tell you how. Because they have no concept of Judgment Day. Romans chapter 3, verse 19, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And how many other people in the world today, exactly the same situation, but people, Judgment Day is coming. Amen. And Holy Perry Mason, do we ever need some of that justice right now? Now, once in a while, we do see some payback. Last Tuesday, the U.S. women's soccer team, who evidently are playing for Black Lives Matter and not the United States of America, took a knee during the national anthem before the start of their first soccer game in the Tokyo Olympics. And lost 3-0 to Sweden. Gee, how sad. But other than that, where's the justice? Last July the 9th, the leader of the Proud Boys, Enrique Tarrio, got convicted for destruction of property, burning a Black Lives Matter flag in Washington, D.C. Now, folks, regardless of what you think of the Proud Boys, if it's not illegal to burn an American flag, why is it illegal to burn a Black Lives Matter flag? Where's the justice? Anthony Fauci still has a job? J.B. Pritzker's running for governor again? China to this day has never been held accountable for spreading the coronavirus? 1,600 Christians have been murdered in just the last 4 months by Muslim terrorists in Nigeria. The blood of 64 million dead aborted babies still cries out to God from the ground. Where in heaven's name is the justice? How long, O Lord? And where's the justice for them? Last January the 6th, hundreds of thousands of Donald Trump supporters showed up in Washington, D.C. to protest the illegal certification by Congress of the election for Joe Biden. And Congress had to evacuate the Capitol building for a while because almost 300 protesters got inside and roamed around the House and Senate chambers and some congressional offices before police were finally able to clear the building and Congress finished their session. And to try to justify another huge power grab, the left called it an insurrection. And the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. And they got the DOJ and the FBI to analyze social media and thousands of hours of videotape and arrest 535 of those people who had clashed with police and got inside the building. And except for a handful of those people arrested who were put on house arrest before their trial, the vast majority were placed in a special supermax prison in Washington, D.C., where ever since last January, 7 months now, they've been denied bail and kept in solitary confinement 23 hours a day in a cell the size of a closet, purposely kept at 55 degrees at all times. They're forced to wake up every morning at 3 a.m. and are constantly denied contact with all kinds of family members and attorneys and legal representation. They've been physically and sexually assaulted by the guards. So it's kind of like Gitmo, only in Washington, D.C. Last Monday, the first of those protesters, a man named Paul Hodgkins from Florida, was sentenced to 8 months in federal prison, even though the DOJ wanted him to get 20 years. And what did Paul Hodgkins do? He waved a Trump flag walking around on the floor of the U.S. Senate chamber. Gee, sounds like public enemy number one to me. No violence ever went on inside that building. Nobody took a weapon inside that building. And regardless of what the media says, the only person killed on January the 6th was Trump supporter Ashley Babbitt, killed by a Capitol Hill policeman. And to this day, that policeman's name has never been released. Now, they call those people insurrectionists, but not one of those people arrested has ever been formally charged with insurrection. And you know why? Because the left knows those people weren't trying to overthrow the democracy. They're just being held as political prisoners to send the message, you challenge the Biden administration in any way, shape, or form, they're going to make your life a living hell. People, you talk about a travesty of justice. Because you want to talk about insurrection, how about the Black Lives Matter riots all last summer? When America's cities were burned and dozens of innocent civilians were killed and over 2,000 cops were injured. The DOJ and FBI has thousands of hours of videotapes of those riots. Are those protesters sitting in supermax prisons anywhere? For 120 straight days, Black Lives Matter protesters tried to destroy a federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon, even tunneling under the building to cut the gas lines to try to blow up federal agents inside. Are those protesters sitting in a supermax prison? No, because the left cheered them on, Kamala Harris bailed them out of jail, and the DOJ dropped all charges, claiming that what they were doing was just exercising their First Amendment constitutional rights to protest. People, are you kidding me? And if January the 6th was the worst attack on our democracy for the Civil War, what about November 7th, 1983, when a woman named Susan Rosenberg, part of a terrorist group called M19, detonated a bomb in the Senate chamber in the Capitol building? Folks, she didn't just wave a flag or take a selfie in Nancy Pelosi's office. She bombed the building. So was she denied bail and put in a supermax prison? No. 7 months after the attack, she was able to bail out. January of 2020, President Bill Clinton gave her an official presidential pardon, and today she is a major fundraiser for Black Lives Matter. Folks, hypocrisy takes your breath away. Are we living in a time when truth and justice lies fallen in the streets, or what? But remember, our hope is not in a lawyer, or a court, or a jury, or a human judge. Our ultimate hope is in the ultimate judge, Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 4, He will establish justice in the world. So no matter what is going on right now in this country, in this world, in our lives, don't worry. Judgment Day, everything is all going to come out in the wash. Whatever is wrong now will be made right then. The first reason why Judgment Day is still coming is because the judge is still just and fair. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why Judgment Day is still coming. Not only because the judge is still fair and just, but also because the judging process is still fair and just. And those terms will never change. And we see this in verses 12 to 14. And notice the scene here. Bare bones description. No extra details, hardly any adjectives even. Nothing to distract you from the fact that it is you and the person sitting on that throne. No jury, no lawyer, no dream team of representatives, no phone, no lifeline. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, baby. Because there's nowhere else to run to. And there's nothing to hide behind. It's just the judge and the judged. Verse 14 says, death and Hades were destroyed. So there's no dying to get out of this. You're going to be there. The most critical moment in the history of the universe. Serious as a heart attack. Your eternity on the line. And the judge says, court is in session. The judging is going to be fair. Because everybody who is somebody and all the other people who are nobody are going to be there. Verse 12, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Verse 13, said the sea gave up its dead. Because people back in John's day, Jewish people, believed if you died at sea and you were not buried in a marked grave, you would never be resurrected. They were wrong. I've had people tell me, Pastor, when I die, I'll just be cremated. That'll make sure I'll get out of being at that throne for sure. No, it won't. Because God knows where is every speck of human dust. Listen to me. I don't care how you die. I don't care what they do with your body. God will reunite every dead person with their body and they will be there. Everybody will be there. All colors, all races, from all times and all places. The good ones will be there. Like Billy Graham and Abraham Lincoln and the Apostle Paul. The other ones will be there, like Gandhi and Julius Caesar and General Custer and Sacagawea and Michael Jordan and Michelle Obama and Javi Baez. The guilty ones will be there, like Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers who crucified Jesus. And Hitler and Stalin will be there. The terrorists on 9/11 will be there. Roy Bryant and J.W. Milam, those two white men who murdered black teenager Emmett Till back in 1955 and then got away because a racist judge let them off. They will be there. And I guarantee you, Judge Jesus won't let them off. Dr. Joseph Mengele, the angel of death who experimented on and tortured and murdered thousands and thousands of Jews at Auschwitz concentration camp, whom the Israeli Nazi hunters were never able to capture. He will be there standing before the throne. Everybody who ever hurt you, everybody who ever slammed you, everybody who ever trolled you on Instagram telling you that you ought to kill yourself, your mom's boyfriend who sexually molested you and still gives you nightmares to this day, your old man who would get drunk and beat you till you couldn't walk and made you feel so worthless. Everybody is going to get everything that's coming to them because Jesus is going to dot every I and cross every T. Ain't nobody getting away with nothing. The good and the bad and the ugly will be there. You will be there. And I'll be there too. Probably somewhere in the back. No unexcused absences. No religious exemptions, no conscientious objectors, nobody calling in sick, nobody taking a personal day. Nobody will be cited for failure to appear because everybody who has ever lived south of anywhere else is going to be there. God's judging will be fair. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, Jesus is going to judge billions and billions and billions of people. How much time is that going to take? Folks, you don't get it. It's the end of the world. All time will have stopped. And besides that, what else are you going to be able to do? Everything else is gone. We know the judging process is fair because every single person is going to be judged for exactly the same thing. Verse 12. And books were opened. Exhibit A. Where God has written down every single thing that every person ever did. And twice for emphasis in these three verses it says what? Everybody is judged according to what they had done. Not because by their race and skin color, like critical race theory says. People are not going to be judged like the world judges us. You are not going to be judged by Jesus Christ by how much money you make or what kind of house you live in or how woke you are. Or whether or not you got a flat stomach or thigh gap or six-pack abs, vaxxers, non-vaxxers, original, extra crispy. You will be judged by the fairest thing there is. Every single thing that each person has done. But notice, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said, we will also be held accountable for every careless word that we utter. Uh-oh. And Romans chapter 2, verse 16 says, we're also going to be judged by the secret things. By our thoughts and the intentions and the motives of our hearts and our attitudes. Ruh-oh. Every single thought, word, and deed is going to be laid bare. Everything. Where you go on your phone. All the things in your search history. All those things that you've done when you thought you were home all by yourself and nobody else would ever find out. Your thoughts when you're checking out the guys or looking at the girls in yoga pants. The lust and the hate and the jealousy and the grudges that we don't let go of. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is laid bare before the face of Him to whom we must give an account. Everything. And there's no tampering with the evidence. Last October, 50-year-old Linda Carroll worked at an elementary school in Pensacola, Florida. Her 17-year-old daughter, Lissa, was running for homecoming queen at J.M. Tate High School there in Pensacola. So mom let her daughter use her login credentials at the school to hack into the high school student accounts. And Lissa changed 117 high school students' votes and got herself elected homecoming queen before her and mom were arrested for felonies. People, there ain't no hacking into God's computer because the evidence has already been gathered. And that's why what's going on here at the Great White Throne really isn't a trial at all, because God's the only one who does any talking. And your eternal verdict has already been determined. So what's going on here at the Great White Throne is really, you're there just to have God pass sentence on you. And the judge says, will the defendant please rise and approach the throne? Now, folks, if we're going to be judged by everything that we do, and we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, and our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags, we ought to be sweating bullets because we are in heap big trouble. We're toast! But here's the good news. Verse 12, there's a second book. The Book of Life. With all the names in it of everybody who's prayed to receive Christ. With the names of all Christians in it. And notice, judgment is based on what? Based on what's written in the first book, everything that everybody has ever done. But salvation, verse 15, not getting thrown in the lake of fire, that's based on what? Faith. Judgment is always on works. Salvation is always on faith. Revelation chapter 13, verse 9 calls the Book of Life the Lamb's Book of Life. Because your name is only in that book by faith in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ on the cross. Because when Jesus was dying on the cross, God does this incredible thing. He took all of our sin and credited it to Jesus' account. And took all of Jesus' righteousness and credited it to our account. So Acts chapter 3 verse 19, when we repent and turn to Jesus Christ, God takes bleach bit to our hard drive, blots out all of our sin, and they're totally erased. So on Judgment Day, when God gets to your name in that book, all the pages behind it are totally blank because your sins are totally gone. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Everybody sins, everybody gets judged, everybody is condemned, but everybody can get saved by exactly the same way, by faith, not in the good things we did for God, but in the good thing that God did for us in Jesus Christ on the cross. The judging process is fair. And I need to remember that too. A couple years ago on Mother's Day, Sue and I were on Interstate 80 headed towards Starred Rock to go for a walk. But just east of the Utica exit, there were two state police cars parked on the shoulder. And I knew what the law was. Emergency vehicles parked on the shoulder. You got to get over in the far left-hand lane if you can. If you can't, you have to at least slow way down when you're driving by them. And I couldn't get over in the far left-hand lane because there was a white pickup truck that was passing me at the time. But I did make sure I slowed way down when I drove past the two state police cars. But, sure enough, one of them lit me up and pulled me over. And I knew exactly what was coming. And he asked me, "Do you know what the law is?" And I said, "Yes, I know what the law is. Emergency vehicles, you got to get over in the far left-hand lane." But I couldn't get over in the far left-hand lane because there was a white pickup truck passing me. He said, "Well, I think you still could have." And he wrote me a ticket, $250 for failure to yield to an emergency vehicle. And folks, you talk about honked off, because I don't lie. I was so honked off, I called an attorney the next day. And you know what he told me? They'd be getting calls all day from people who had been pulled over by the same two policemen on Mother's Day and ticketed for exactly the same thing because they were running a sting that day. And I said, "Well, what am I supposed to do about it?" He said, "There's nothing you can do about it because the state police always show up in court, and because they got the hat and the badge, they always win." And I said, "But I followed the law. I couldn't get over in the left-hand lane, so I slowed way down." He said, "He'll just come to court and say you didn't slow down enough." Folks, why do we even have a justice system? And he told me the only thing you can do is go to court, plead guilty, pay the fine, and suck it up. Because if you fight it, you're going to have to pay an even bigger fine, plus court costs. You ask for a jury trial, they'll really rack you because the judge is in cahoots with the police. So folks, you talk about being ticked off. I'm screwed out of $250. I got nobody to appeal to. So 3 weeks later, I show up at court. There are so many people in that room who've gotten exactly the same ticket that I did. They had to move us to a bigger courtroom. And one guy tried to tell the judge he lives off that Utica exit. The reason he didn't get over in the far left, he had to take that exit to get home. Didn't matter, still gave him a ticket. One woman wanted to fight it and requested a jury trial. I don't know what happened to her. She probably got 25 to life. And I won't tell you the judge's name, but he had no expression on his face. He wouldn't even look at us. He didn't give two hoots and a holler about individual people, individual cases, individual circumstance. He just processed us like beef. And you know why? Because he'd done it many times before. Because the fix was in. Because the system was rigged. And what was even worse, when it was all over with, they frog-marched us to the cashier's office. And because I didn't have my checkbook with me, I had to pay my fine with a credit card. And they even charged me $10 more to process the payment. $260. $260 for something I didn't even do. Now, I got all the respect in the world for policemen, but not that one. Because what he did to me wasn't right. But folks, we need to remember, here's the good news. Judgment Day, the fix will not be in. Every mountain will be brought low. Every crooked path will be made straight. Anybody who's ever hurt you will be exposed. Your innocence will be exonerated. And if you're trusting in Christ as your Savior, every single one of your sins is going to be forgiven and forgotten by the blood of Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, Judgment Day will not be rigged. The judging process will be fair. Everybody will be judged. Everybody will be judged according to what they have done. And those of us who are already trusting Christ as our Savior will go to heaven forever and ever and ever. The second reason why Judgment Day is still coming is because the judgment process is still fair and just. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why Judgment Day is still coming. Not only because the judge is still fair and just, not only because the judging process is still fair and just, but third, because the judgment will be fair and just. Even the judgment for unbelievers here in verse 15. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Fair, because God warns us over and over and over again about hell. But people just ignore it and they blow it off and they end up in hell and get the shock of their lives. Because guess what? There really is a God. And all religions really don't lead to the same place. and you really weren't born that way. And you really don't go to hell to party with your friends because you're too busy screaming and remembering every single chance you had to get saved but didn't. Thomas Hobbes said, hell is truth seen too late. And I know there's people listening to this sermon right now, you don't believe that there's a hell. Too many people who call themselves Christians really don't believe there's a hell either. I got this piece of fan mail last December. Pastor Garner, you need to stop preaching about hell like you do because people are too sensitive today to believe what the Bible says about it. Maybe if you made hell sound like rehab that somehow purifies people and makes them better. And the God I believe in would never send anybody to hell like you describe it. The very idea that God would take a person who was bad during his lifetime for maybe 50 or 60 years and condemn him to billions of years of torment is extremely cruel. And to preach it is just hateful. So stop preaching that old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone stuff, or better yet, stop preaching your hate altogether. And do you know why somebody says something like that? Because they have absolutely no clue how bad sin really is. Because they have absolutely no clue how holy God really is. For the love of God, Christian, stop trying to air condition hell with ceiling fans and iced coffee and start warming people like your hair's on fire that they're going to go to hell if they live and die without Christ. Is it really hateful to tell people about hell? Back when I was 5 years old, our mailbox was down a really long lane and on the opposite side of the road that ran past our farm. And me and my mom would walk down there every single morning to get the mail. Well, one day there was a dead rabbit on the road, hit by a car, ran over 20, 30 times, got scorched all over the place, stinking to high heaven. My mom looked at me and pointed to that rabbit and she said, "That's what happens to little boys that don't look both ways when they cross the road." Man, did that never make an impression on me. And I never forgot it either. And believe you me, 53 years later, I still look both ways when I cross the street. Now, did my mom tell me that because she hated me? No, because she loved me. She loved me too much not to tell me that because she didn't want that to happen to me. Same reason, Christians, why we need to be born in people about hell. You say, "Well, Kevin, hell doesn't sound very loving Jesus to me." Most of what we know about hell came from Jesus. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 18, verse 9, hell is a real place of suffering and torment. Jesus said, Mark chapter 9, verse 48, hell is a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Jesus said, John chapter 3, verse 36, you don't trust in me alone for salvation. You're going to hell sure as you're born. Jesus said, Luke chapter 16, verse 26, there is no fire escape in hell. So once you go there, you can't get out. The time to escape it is now, before you go there, by trusting Christ. How many all realize the biggest hellfire and brimstone preacher of all time was Jesus? But Kevin, it's not fair that God sends anybody to hell. Yes, it is. Because it's exactly what every single one of us deserves. What isn't fair is that anybody goes to heaven. Because not one of us deserves that. Folks, you got to realize, God did not create hell for human beings. He created it for spirit beings, for fallen angels. So the only way you can get there is by choosing to go there, by rejecting Christ. Amen. You have nothing to do with God in this life. God's going to make sure you have nothing to do with Him in the next life. It's what you chose. It's getting exactly what you wanted. It's totally fair. And I hear this a million times, but Kevin, how could a loving God, how could a loving God ever put anybody in hell forever? I'll tell you why. Because that loving God is also just, which means sin has to be paid for. And either you're going to trust Jesus and His death on the cross to pay the price for your sin, or you will pay for that sin yourself. And because we human beings can't possibly ever pay for our own sin, you will be paying for it forever, for eternity, in a place called hell. It's totally fair. But see, it's to save us from that, that Jesus died on the old rugged cross. And it's to warn us about that, that God gave us His Word and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're too arrogant and you're too stupid as to turn a blind eye to the cross and turn a deaf ear to God's Word and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit and you end up in hell, that's not on God. That's on you. Hell is totally fair. Final judgment is going to be bad news for unbelievers. But it's going to be good news for us Christian believers. Because just as sure as there's a hell, there's also a heaven. And it's only by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ that we're going to get there. Back in 2005, Sue and I got asked to speak at a Bible camp over in the Czech Republic. And a Czech pastor named Michael Klus and his wife met us there, the city of Prague, and showed us around the city before the Bible camp started. And they warned us that the Russian mafia and human traffickers ride all public transportation in the Czech Republic looking to steal people. And they also ride the trolleys in the city of Prague, posing as policemen. They come up to people and ask to see your trolley ticket because they know a lot of people try to ride the trolleys for free, especially tourists, because it's hard to figure out how to get one of those tickets. And so if you can't produce a ticket, the traffickers haul you away telling you you're under arrest, and then nobody ever sees you again. So Michael Klus bought tickets for me and Sue that day. We're riding along the trolley. Sure enough, some guy in a trench coat comes up behind me and says, "Let me see your ticket." And people, what an absolute blessing it was for me to be able to point at Michael Klus and say, "That man there, that man paid for me." Christians, judgment day, standing before God, guilty as hell, we're going to be able to point at Jesus and say, "That man there, he paid for me. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne. He shows his wounded hands and names me as his own. This one, that one, this one, this one. They belong to me, Father. They belong to me." Hallelujah. There's a heaven for unbelievers. There's also a hell for believers. There's also a hell for unbelievers. A lake of fire. And how far-fetched is it really to have a lake of fire? Last July the 5th, in the Gulf of Mexico, just west of the Yucatan Peninsula, an underwater natural gas pipeline sprung a leak. Started bubbling up to the surface, and then electric charges from a thunderstorm lit it up, and all of a sudden, something like right out of Dante's Inferno. People, the ocean was on fire. And how do you put out a fire like that? With water? The water itself was on fire. This is what it looked like. Now, workers were eventually able to plug that leak and pump nitrogen into the pipe to put the fire out. But that gas company said if that leak had not been plugged, the entire Gulf of Mexico would have gone up in flames. People, let me ask you this morning. If human beings can set the entire Gulf of Mexico on fire by accident, don't you think an almighty God can create a lake of fire on purpose? And I know there's somebody saying, "Kevin, there's no such place as heaven and hell out there anywhere. You sure about that? Does anybody know where hell really is? Because most people think that hell is down in the middle of the earth. But see, the Bible doesn't say that. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, hell is a place of confinement and torment, but it doesn't say where hell is. The grave is in the earth, but not hell. And because human beings have only explored about 1% of all outer space, maybe hell isn't down, maybe hell is up in another dimension. Because, get a load of that. Back in 2019, astronomers at Harvard University took the very first photograph ever of a black hole in a galaxy called Messier 87, about 54 million light years away from here. Fuzzy light around the dark center. And that black hole is an absolute monster because it is 7 billion times bigger than our solar system. This is what astronomer Shep Donaldson from Harvard said about it. "Black holes are the scariest thing in the universe because they're dark, full of fire from radiation, and totally destructive. They suck everything into them, including light, and whatever goes into them never comes out again. And given enough matter, they'll last forever. And what's even crazier, if the black hole is big enough, human beings could continue to exist in them in some form or another, even though time stops there and black holes lead to a different dimension altogether. Looking at a black hole, especially that one, is like staring at the gates of hell." And holy Stygian fairy people, because what that atheist Harvard astronomer says about black holes is exactly what the Bible tells us about hell.
The Bible tells us that hell is a place of utter darkness too, and torment and destruction, a place where the fire is not quenched. Mark chapter 9, verse 48. The Bible tells us that anybody who goes into hell never comes out of there either and continues to exist in a different dimension, in some form of existence in another, because hell lasts forever too. So they continue to suffer too, just like a black hole. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. Believe you me, you do not want to go to hell in a black hole. Okay, Kevin, but what about heaven? Well, what do you know? Astronomers tell us there's not only such a thing as a black hole, there's also such a thing as a white hole, even though nobody's ever seen one yet out there in deep space. Here's what Harvard Astronomy says about white holes. A white hole is exactly the opposite of a black hole. And a white hole is really strange because it's totally cut off from the rest of the universe. So white holes are in a different dimension too. And a white hole doesn't suck things in, it pushes things out. So it has to have its own source of light and energy. And white holes last forever too. And given the size, human beings could live in a white hole in a different form of existence. And here's where it really gets good. Because what Harvard Astronomy says about a white hole is exactly what the Bible says about heaven. The Bible says that heaven is a different dimension too. Totally cut off from the rest of the universe. So that nothing that goes on in the universe affects anything that happens in heaven at all. And heaven doesn't suck things in either, because you got to be invited by Jesus Christ to go there. And nothing impure will ever enter it. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. And heaven has its own source of light and energy too. Jesus Christ, the city does not need the sun to shine upon it. For the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is its lamp. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. And because heaven lasts forever too, anybody who trusts in Jesus Christ is going to live there forever. In a different form of existence, in a glorified body. And here's the kicker. For the last 15 years, astronomers and astrophysicists all over the world, next picture, have been absolutely flabbergasted, previous picture, absolutely flabbergasted by super flashes of bright white light that seem to be coming from somewhere about 3 billion light years away. And with all their measurements and all their calculations, no astronomer, no astrophysicist in the world has ever been able to figure out where in the world that light is coming from. There's the spectrograph right there. Shep Donaldson, Harvard University, says this: there is absolutely no known natural source for this light. It's not from a quasar. It's not really a fast radio burst. As strange as it may seem, it has to be coming from an unnatural source, possibly even another dimension. That's an atheist astronomer saying that. I know where that light's coming from. Because what the experts are clueless about, God tells us about in His Word. That light is coming from a white hole. That light is coming from heaven. Because Revelation chapter 21, verse 11 says that heaven shines and flashes the light of the glory of God. And the only reason no living person has ever seen it yet is because you got to have salvation in Jesus Christ to get there in another dimension, in this life, another life after this one. Eye is not seen, or ear heard, or mind conceived the glory that God has prepared for those who love it. So, Kevin, you're saying that a black hole is a gateway to hell and a white hole is a gateway to heaven? I'm saying what the Bible says. There is a hell and there is a heaven. And God has done every possible thing that He could possibly do to keep you from the one and get you to the other. He put His only Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross so that you could go there. He told you about it over and over again in His Word so that you would want to go there. And now He's even sending a bright flashing neon arrow light in the sky to point you to there so that you would follow it and seek Him and find Him and choose to go there yourself. And on Judgment Day, when we stand before God, we will find out it's only by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ that we will be there. When I soar to worlds unknown and behold Thee on Thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You're not saved. You've never prayed to receive Christ. You're not trusting Jesus as your Savior. The most important thing in the whole wide world, priority number one, you have got to get your name written in that book of life. Right now, Jesus Christ is standing in front of you. And you have to make a decision about what you are going to do with Him. On Judgment Day, you are going to be standing in front of Jesus Christ, and He's going to be making a decision about what He's going to do with you. And the decision that Jesus makes about what He is going to do with you totally, totally depends on the decision that you are going to make right now about what you're going to do with Him. What's your decision? You say, Kevin, I'll wait till then. You can't. You can't get saved on Judgment Day because Judgment Day is too late. You've got to get saved before Judgment Day comes. You can't decide to go to heaven on Judgment Day. You've got to make that decision before Judgment Day ever comes. What's your decision? And let me tell you this morning, if it's no, how in the world can you look at Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, suffering, bleeding, and dying on a cross for your sin, the only provision that God in His grace and love and mercy made for you to be saved? How in the world you think you can turn your back on that and still be okay on Judgment Day is beyond me. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, how shall you escape if you ignore so great a salvation? And the answer is you won't. You will go to hell. But here's the greatest fact about hell of all. You don't have to go there. After this service is over, I'm talking to you. Get out of your seat. Come to the front of this church and we will pray with you. You can leave this church today knowing where you stand with God and knowing where you're going to stand with God on Judgment Day. There's Christians listening to this sermon right now. You have prayed to receive Christ. But believe you me, you are not ready to stand before God. You are not ready to meet Him. Because there's things going on in your life that aren't right. Things that you need to be set free from. You are not walking with the Lord. After this service is over, you need to come up forward too. Come up to the front. We will pray with you. And you can start that process of being set free. Listen to me. God's word's not mine. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And don't you dare let fear of what somebody else might think of you. Don't let that keep you from coming forward after this service, because you know what? It won't be them on that throne on Judgment Day judging you. It'll be the Lord.
That's right.
This is between you and Him. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for the description that You've given in Your Word. Lord, You don't give us any gory details. You don't give us anything about the people screaming or burning. None of that is necessary. Eternity will fill in all the details. Lord, You got something in Your Word that is very awesome and very serious today. Most important decision anybody needs to make, and that's trusting You as their Savior. I pray for one person today, one person, one man, woman, boy, or girl who does not know You. Lord, that they would make that decision to be saved and to accept You as their Savior. And I pray for Christians here today who are struggling. Maybe they're bound and need to be set free. There's things in their life that don't belong. Just ask, Lord, that You would start that process of setting them free so that they can walk with You until the day You call us home and until the day when we do stand before You. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.